Okay. Let's see. Is it officially 1 o'clock yet? I'm hearing yes. Okay, good. Okay, let's start off. Are there any questions? Any questions from last class? Any questions about NP completeness? Any questions at all? Okay, that I guess is good. Okay, so as far as announcements and stuff, today is the last class. Okay, so that I guess means that we have an exam coming up. The exam is going to be what day? Does anybody remember what day it is?
19th.
The 19th. Okay. Does anybody know which room it is in? Okay, I don't either. They haven't assigned it yet. Hopefully, it won't be in here. But keep an eye out on my webpage and on the Piazza and whatever sources you use to find these things. Any questions? What will the exam be like? It will be cumulative. That means it will have stuff from all the stuff we have covered in what I will consider to be roughly uniform proportion. I expect it to look like the midterm, okay, in that there will be a multiple choice part and a non-multiple choice part. I expect it to be 5-ish questions in the non-multiple choice part and then multiple choice part to fill the fact that you have 2.5 hours to take the test instead of 1 hour and 20. Any questions about it? Okay. How should you study for it? You should study for it the way you should have studied for the midterms, okay? That you should look at the problems we have done in homeworks and in daily problems and in the book, okay? You should review past tests, okay? If there's stuff you didn't get, okay, it's another good opportunity to get it, okay? And sometimes when you look at it again and you try to figure these things out, hopefully you can figure out certain things like dynamic programming and graph algorithms maybe in a way you didn't figure it out before. Any questions about the exam? Okay. I will be generally around then. I'm going to be around when I'm not around, okay? Except when I'm not around. Unfortunately today we have another faculty candidate today that I have to go to. So I will not be at office hours today. If you need to see me, in general, I'm around the department a lot. If that's not good enough, send me email and arrange an appointment, then I will arrange an appointment. Generally speaking, mornings, I'm usually in mornings, and usually relatively unscheduled then. Any questions about that? Okay, good. So what I'd like to talk about today is I'd like us to finish up NP completeness, and this should have been the problem of the day, if I am correct. It has to do with the hitting set problem. What is the hitting set problem? It says, I'm giving you a collection of subsets of a set and a positive integer k. Does S contain a subset S prime such that, okay, I see, so it's subsets C of a set, okay? Does the set contain a subset of elements, at most k elements, such that each subset contains at least one element from C, S prime, okay? Do people understand what the problem is? The way I'm going to think of what that means is, just to see if I understand what the problem is, it's got a collection of subsets. Let's say I'm a president coming in and trying to set up a cabinet that has a representative from every different group. Does everybody kind of get that idea? Perhaps, let's say, again, what kind of groups are there? They're men, they're women, okay? You can imagine that there are ethnic groups, there are racial groups, there's different kinds of things, there's engineers or a constituency. Suppose I want to pick a cabinet of size K such that I make sure every constituency has at least one of their guys. Does that kind of make sense? If I could find an engineer who was both male and female, that would be great. Does everybody agree? Then I could cover all three of those things. But that's hard to do because in these cases, this is, you know, I assume, you know, in the, you know, disjoint. On the other hand, does everybody see that certain people can be in multiple sets? Okay, that's the important point here, right? And our goal is to find the smallest number of if we have a set of people, S is our set of people, we want to find a smallest number of representatives such that we will have at least one of them to hit every set. Does everybody get that idea? Now I think I understand what the problem is. Any questions about what the hitting set problem is? Yes. It doesn't tell you if what?
Capital S is input.
Like, well, the set of things. Okay, so is S the input? If S is not the input, well, you could take all. If these are the names of the people in each subset, if you took the union of that, that is S. Does every okay?
What if the collection C is doesn't have all of S?
If C doesn't have all of S, then the answer is. So if there's somebody who's not a member of any one of the subsets you want to hit, they don't exist, right? Let's think what we're trying to do. We're trying to find a small set of people to cover all the subsets, right? Suppose you have some hermit who has never been in any, is not a member of any community. Would that person be a desirable representative to have? Okay. I say the answer is no, they cover nothing. Does everybody agree? So the effective set S of people we care about are the people who are in at least one subset. So the union of them is will give us our effective S if its S is not provided.
So if the collection C that they give us contains only the empty set, how would they refer capital S?
So if, again, what are we given here? The input is I'm giving you a bunch of subsets of people. Let's use numbers to represent people. This group contains 1, 2, and 4. This contains 2, 4, 7, and 8. Let's say it's 2, 4, 7, and let's say 8. This one contains 1, 3, 6, and 7. Okay, this one contains 7 and 8. Okay, what is the smallest committee, smallest subset of people I need to make sure I cover every single one of these committees? Which people should I invite into my cabinet? Is there a way to invite 3 people such that every set has a representative? Yes, what would be a way to do it? Someone with a hand, yeah?
2, 7, and 3.
If I put 2, 7, and 3 in the cabinet, you're telling me, I get this one covered, this one covered, this one covered, and this one covered. Does everybody see that? Actually, do I need 3? If I had wanted to have a smaller cabinet, if I had 2 and 7, that would be enough to provide a representative. Does everybody see that? So a hitting set of size 2 is possible here. A hitting set of size 1 is not possible. Any questions? Yes?
So if you find out later that S was all the integers from 1 to 100?
If I found out that S was all the integers from 1 to 100, would that help me? I claim the answer is no, because is there any reason why Mr. 100 is going to be a useful representative? Mr. 100 hits exactly 0 of the subsets, right? He gives me no power, okay? So I claim that if I give you the input from of what the subset is, S, that's good. If I don't give it to you, it's not a big loss, right? Because if you're not in a subset, you might as well not exist, okay? Any questions? Okay, good. So the claim here is we would like to prove that hitting set is NP complete. Okay? So let's go and think about how we would do such a thing. Actually, let's leave that as a picture so you see what it's doing. We're going to need a Bandersnatch. We're going to need a Bobili. Which one is hitting set? Which one is hitting set going to play the role of? Bandersnatch or Bobili? Bobili, exactly right. So we've got hitting set. And what's the argument to hitting set? We've got a collection of subsets, and if we want to say a universal set, right? Which might as well be the union of this collection of subsets, right? But that's what the arguments here are. We need a Bandersnatch. What is, yeah, question.
Does it also accept the number k?
Ah, it's a good thing, you're right. It better accept the number k. That's even more important than s. Because S might as well, I can write right now and say S could be equal to the union of CI as I goes from 1 to the number of subsets. But K is important. How big a hitting set am I looking for? Right? Any questions? Yes?
Could we leave off the K and just say a minimal or not?
Could we leave off the K and just say a minimal? The answer is no, because we're looking for a decision problem. That's not a decision problem. Is it interesting that it's not a decision problem? Probably not, but I'm used to living in a decision problem world. Does everybody agree? So just to make, so I leave my S here or I could delete S, but I need K and I need C. What should Bandersnatch be? That's the heart of what we're dealing with here. What problem do we know of that is NP complete that smells like the hitting set problem? Yes. Vertex cover. You want to say vertex cover on a graph G. Is there, let's make this K prime, since I want to do it. Is there a vertex cover of size K? You think that smells like Bandersnatch. Why, that smells like a hitting set. Why does it smell like hitting set? Okay, you're giving me now a reduction, which is good, but why do they, and that's ultimately what we care about. But at the beginning, what are the, we want to try to come up with analogies between problems. What analogies are there? Yeah?
Are they both cover problems?
They are both cover problems. They both are about picking a subset of things that cover other things. Does everybody see that? So now I see these don't look like they're that, you know, they look like they're cousins, okay? And it's probably easier to transform cousins than unrelated individuals, right? Okay? So now tell me how I'm going to do a translation. Do you want to give me the details of a translation or not? So to do a details of a translation, what do I have to do? I've got what S is. You need to tell me what C is. And you need to tell me what K prime is. Does everybody see that? To do my translation. What is going to be, and I guess that the interesting thing, what are going to be the subsets that I'm going to get from this graph, yeah? Okay, to be honest, what you're saying at the beginning, I was maybe being a little too cute here. I said, yes, by definition, S prime is the union of these things. But what is the universal set that you're thinking about? What are you building your subsets from? Vertices, okay? So you're really going to tell me that the subset, the set is going to be V1 dot, 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 Vn. Does everybody agree that's the universal set that he's going to be using? Maybe to keep my program well-formed, maybe I'll put that first, okay? What now is the subsets that you're going to be doing? So you want to say E1, that the subsets are going to be E1 through EM, right? Each of which is, if you look at it, a subset of two vertices. Does everybody agree? So his set of classes, of subsets is each subset's going to be a two-element subset corresponding to an edge. And what's K prime going to be? So let's think what he's saying now. He is saying, I am going to try to find, as my hitting set here, what am I want to do? I want to find a selection of elements from here, meaning vertices, such that every one of these subsets, meaning edges, has at least one of those vertices in it. Does everybody see that? And isn't that exactly what the definition of vertex cover is? Okay, let's go back. This is what I want to see vigorous nodding on, because this is, if not, we'll keep going till we get some vigorous nodding. Okay, does everybody see what he's now saying here? What is vertex cover? Give me a set of vertices with the property that every edge has at least one of these vertices in it. Isn't that right? And is there a vertex cover of size k? Isn't that exactly saying, okay, is there a subset of k vertices such that every edge has at least one vertex in that subset? That's what vertex cover is, right? And now what are we doing? If we construct our universal set to correspond to vertices and our subsets to correspond to edges, and we want the smallest number of representatives such that every subset has a representative in it, isn't that exactly the right thing? If I find k prime, meaning k, elements of the universal set, meaning vertices, that cover all the subsets, meaning edges, I have found the vertex cover of the right size. Does everybody see this? Okay, how many people see it? How many people don't see it? Question like, I don't see it is a good question. Okay, any reason, questions about what you don't see? Yes? The vertex cover, by definition, as we define vertex cover, it was the smallest number of vertices such that every edge kisses at least one vertex in the cover, right? That's what vertex cover was, okay? And that's exactly what we're doing here, yeah?
Are the edges the actual subsets, or is an edge from a subset to another subset? How would you convert that?
How would I convert this to a graph? That's doing the translation the wrong way. I want to convert a graph to this. So let's take a look at my actual construction. Okay? Let's say I've got here a graph. Name, let's look at my graph. Let's say this is my graph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Does everybody see that? I've got 5 vertices here. What is my vertex, my universal set going to be? Right? What are my subsets going to be? It's going to be 1, 2 is one of my subsets. 2, 3 is another one of my subsets. 2, 4 is another one of my subsets. 3, 5 is another one of my subsets. 4, 5 is another one of my subsets. End bracket. Right? Now, what does this mean? I claim that now I have given you what you wanted. I took this graph. I have transformed it. If I say, is there a cover of size 2? Is the same as, is there a set of 2 elements in here which will cover all the edges? Are there 2 elements here that will cover all the edges? That will cover all the subsets? Look hard at this instant. Are there 2?
Yeah.
Which 2?
The bottom
or the top? No. Which 2? Which 2 of the, which 2 elements from this? This is
2 and 5.
If I picked 2 and 5, do I have a hitting set? Hit. Does everybody see that? And why is that? It's because exactly that those 2 vertices form a cover. Does everybody kind of see this, what the transformation is doing? Okay. Yes.
So you translated that to subsets of size 2. Is that, you say that's equivalent to a bunch of subsets of any sizes?
So what did I do? I translated with this thing vertex cover into instances of size 2 and showed that hitting set on this thing would give me vertex cover of that, right? What does that mean? That means that hitting set is such a hard problem that even subsets of size 2 can make it hard. Did you see that? It could have been my translation might have involved bigger subsets, right? I'm allowed by hitting set to have subsets as large as I want, right? But what this is saying is even if I just look at the tiny universe of hitting set problems where my subsets are not more than two elements, even that is powerful enough to do vertex cover. Okay? So do you see that when I did the translation, I had the power or freedom to do whatever I wanted? That my translation didn't involve big subsets is kind of interesting. It's not a weakness, it's actually a strength. Right? Because even subsets of size 2 are going to be hard. Could I have done it where subsets of size 1? Is it hard to solve hitting set for subsets of size 1? If I have a group of 1, okay, let's say I need to form a committee where I need a representative, one of whom is Trump. I need to form a committee where one of them is Pence. I need to form a committee where one of them is Clinton. Is it possible to form a two-element subset that I cover all the subsets? No, right? Because it being one, it means I've got to include this guy. Got to include this guy, right? So in fact, it's kind of impressive that subsets as small as size 2 are still powerful enough to do a hard problem. That's kind of the interesting thing here. Any questions about that? Okay. So let's look at what you're supposed to... How many people don't see this yet, what I'm doing here? Any questions? Yes.
Just a clarification. So if you need to form a committee where one's Trump, one's Pence, one's Clinton, and in all three of them there's a second member, Obama. Would Obama then be a hitting set for this?
So right. So if, let's say, all these groups I had a choice of picking, I have to have a representative, either Trump or Obama, or Pence or Obama, or Clinton or Obama. What does that mean? I could form a hitting set of just Obama. Obama's better than worth all of them, okay? Which, okay? That's kind of the important point, right? He's worth, certainly he's worth more than any two of them combined, right? That's what it kind of shows, okay? Any questions here? Okay? So what's to note about this, okay? Note that a couple of things are important to note. First, the transformation is actually relatively simple. I mean, you see how I wrote it? You saw how I could explain it. He explained that, oh, the edges, you know, edges represent subsets. The universal set represents vertices. He showed me something like this. He explained why it was the same. What's interesting, the transformation is relatively straightforward. And this transformation is very mechanical. Notice that it's pretty obvious if you look at it this way. Is it surprising that my hitting set here of size 2 represented a cover, vertex cover of size 2? This is a graph. This is the adjacency list of a graph, right? It's really not like I did any real substantive thinking about it. It was a mechanical translation. That's what these reductions are. They are mechanical translations where you're not solving anything. You're simply reformatting it in a way that the problem understands it, and the fancy solver, the Bobilli solver, would do the hard work of finding it, right? Any questions? It's not like I'm saying, oh, take this, find the vertex cover, and then translate it so I can see what the vertex cover is, right? I'm translating the input in a mechanical way, but a way that is still kind of so that this thing is going to do what I want in solving it. Okay? Any questions about that? Any questions about how this reduction works or why it works or why it is not unfair for me to ask such a thing on the exam? Any questions about it? Yes?
Is it NP
to find a translation function? What I would say is that it is finding a translation function is an act of a person. It's a creative act. How complicated it is for you to write what is the computational complexity of you writing a term paper for your English class? It's a dumb question, right? Does everybody see that? Okay, you don't say, oh, it takes me time order N. Maybe it does take you time order N to write an essay of length N, right? Or maybe as it gets, the book thing gets longer, it takes you proportionately longer. Does everybody see that? So is it that it takes me N squared time? When I write a book, does it take me N squared time? If so, it would mean that as I write double the length of my book, I work four times harder, right? Is that with you, true with you on your English paper? But see, that's not the question to be asking here. This transformation was not developed by an algorithm. This transformation was developed by a person, right? What is the running time of the transformation is a fair question to ask, right? What is the running time of this transformation? If I give you a graph on n vertices and m edges, how much time will it take to actually do this translation? Probably something like order n plus m. It's not much more than reading the adjacency lists. Does everybody see that? Okay. So there is a time that's actually executed for doing the translation, and that we care about. For if your translation took exponential time, we would be in trouble. But finding the translation is a mental thing. It's a creative thing. And so that's not a computational question. Any questions about this? Yes? So the question is, suppose you came up with an alternate translation of this that happened to produce bigger subsets, would your proof be as good? Is that kind of what your question is? And the answer is, for answering the question on the board, the answer is absolutely yes. Okay? You had to prove general hitting set was hard, right? And, you know, so in principle, if you use all the powers of hitting set, which include having big subsets, right? I can't blame you for that, right? That said, if we agree, this one is aesthetically a little bit better because the fact that it limits us to subsets of size 2 means that we know what makes it hard. The hardness comes in the transition from subsets of size 1 to subsets of size 2. And that's kind of nice to know, right? Doesn't mean you wouldn't get full credit on the homework if you didn't have it. But we agree that it's a, you know, you see what the difference is, I think. Okay? Any questions? Any other questions about this reduction? Okay, and how you think about it and how you go back around to try to work these things out. Okay, so what would I like to talk about today? Okay, I would like to talk about my strategies for proving things NP complete. Okay, again, you know, that in general, there are a couple of different kinds of ideas that typically come up in how you do this thing. The first idea is something called restriction, which is kind of like showing that your problem is a special case of that problem. Okay? That a special case of your problem is NP complete. I would probably say this is like that category. Does everybody see that the special case of just hitting sets of size 2 directly captures vertex cover, right? So why is it surprising that vertex cover is at least as hard or harder than vertex cover? Hitting set is harder than vertex cover? No, because this is a very special case of it, right? That's how many of the proofs that you guys are going to do, because they're simple, look like. Any questions? There's other proofs that are, let's say, a little bit braver, where you need to make local changes in translating it, okay? So like when I think about what was the, how did you prove that 3-set was hard? Well, we found a local way to take pieces of the SAT problem and convert them to clauses of size 3 that meant the same thing, right? That's kind of where the class of proofs that I would put local under local replacement. Any questions? And, let's go back there. Okay, boom. Okay, those are, I think, the main techniques that you guys might want to think about. Okay. Now, how do I prove problems hard? I happen to be proud of my ability to prove problems hard, okay? And part of that is experience, and part of that is interest, okay? And part of it is, first of all, recognizing when problems might very well be hard, okay? And, you know, and part, that's, to a certain extent, experience. But if we thought about it, what seems to be hard are problems where you have to pick subsets of things or orders of things, where it's relatively, you know, they're constraints, but they're relatively loose constraints, okay? And part of that is if you see enough algorithms, you can do it. Part of the thing is that when you saw the, when you saw, let's say, the reduction where we did prove that vertex cover was hard, remember, we took 3-set clauses and converted it to satisfiability clauses? And you looked at that and you said, my God, how did they do that? Okay? And one reason it's sort of difficult is I find that building an NP-completeness proof is in some sense like writing a program. Does everybody kind of see that? To prove that hitting set was hard, we basically wrote a program for that. Does everybody see that? And when you have a job choice of either taking somebody's code or modifying it, or rewriting it from scratch, what do people do? Okay, who here prefers to take somebody's code and modify it? Who here prefers to write things from scratch? Everybody. Why is that? Because that other guy wrote diseased code. He couldn't understand it. It's impossible, right? So recognize that when you read about NP-completeness proofs, they're often hard to understand because somebody, you're trying to understand somebody else's code, okay? Once you understand the principles of these things, I find it's usually easier to redevelop. Someone tells me, here's a problem that's NP-complete, and they said, oh, here's a proof for it. I don't listen to their proof. I redo it, okay? Again, that takes practice. I'm not saying that's going to happen immediately. But what are the strategies that I use to do these things, okay? First of all, realize that when we're proving something hard, we want to do a Bandersnatch Bobilli proof, right? And as we saw here, this was our Bandersnatch. This is the problem that we are picking, that we're trying to prove hard. This is the one where we choose where do we start, right? And so first of all, we should start from the problem that is most, what you call it, smells the most like what you want your problem to be. But also, you want to start with the simplest version of that problem. Okay? Let's say that I told you that the traveling salesman problem, which involves weighted graphs, is NP-complete. And I told you that the Hamiltonian cycle problem, which is visit all the vertices in a graph, is NP-complete. Which would make a better Bandersnatch? The traveling salesman problem or Hamiltonian cycle? Okay, yeah? I will say Hamiltonian cycle. Why is that? Because here with TSP, you're translating some weighted graph. Hamiltonian cycle is translating an unweighted graph. It's a simpler thing. Do you see how you've got to translate every single instance of vertex cover into something? If you have a more restricted problem, there's less stuff to translate. Does everybody see that? Why did we like 3-set instead of satisfiability? Because 3-set, all the clauses were of size 3. It was easier to do a translation than having to worry about all the clauses of all lengths. Does everybody see that? So I always try to make my source problem as simple a hard problem as it can be. Okay? And so, you know, recognize that you want a simple, make your hard problem as simple as you want it can be, rather than as complicated. Any question? Okay? Second, make your, your target problem, your Bobili problem, as hard as it can be, as general as it can be. Does everybody see that? What is a better problem to use than Bobili? What about weighted Bobili? Is weighted Bobili better than Bobili? Where every thingamabob that would made up the Bobili problem could have a weight on it instead of always being one? Does everybody agree that something that could solve the weighted Bobili problem would be more powerful than something that could solve the unweighted Bobili problem? Right? What about directed weighted Bobili? Is directed weighted Bobili where the thingamabobs can go in this direction or that direction? Is that a better problem to try to prove hard? The more powerful your problem is, the more general it is, the harder it is likely to be. Does everybody see that? So when I'm thinking about an NP completeness proof, I am willing to, at least at the beginning for thinking about it, try to make my target problem more general if it's going to make it easier to prove it hard. And then later on, maybe I'm going to be able to get rid of those constraints. Okay? You know, I wasn't really using the directedness of my thingamabobs. Okay? So now it works for undirected thingamabobs. Any questions? Okay? So that's a principle I like to have. The other problem is you got to select the right problem to start from as Bandersnatch for the right reason. Okay? Now, I, in general, when I'm thinking about things, only start from what I, you know, and again, maybe you'll will disprove me when I do something later. But in general, when I'm thinking about it, there's really only four problems I use a lot to prove things that are hard. One is three-set. Three-set is a problem that, in theory, will always work, okay? In principle, when nothing else seems appropriate, I go back to three-satisfiability. What other ones do I know about? There was a problem that we saw at some point we saw the knapsack problem. When did we discuss the knapsack problem in here? I know we did at one point. Does everybody, why did we talk about that? Does anyone remember? What? Saying that there were heuristics, maybe the different heuristics, non-heuristics. Yeah? On the first exam, okay, that was why we were talking about. But what was the knapsack problem? The knapsack problem was, remember, you were given a collection of integers and a target and said, could you find any of them that would add up to that? Right? A subset of numbers that would add up to that exact target. There is a class of problems like that, okay, like the knapsack problem, that are basically equivalent to it. Integer partition is one of taking a set of numbers and saying, is there a way I can take a set of numbers, make some of them positive, make some of them negative, and have the whole thing add up to zero? Okay, which means break them up into two, take my items, partition it. Let's say you and your friend knock off a jewelry store. You have a value of each item. You and your friend want to now divide the items up so that both of you get the same amount of loot. Does everybody see that problem? This one you can understand, right? This one resonates, okay? So now does everybody see that the problem would be, I've stolen these items, say I have dollar signs on each item. Can I now partition the items into my loot and your loot so that we come out with the same amount? Okay? Turns out this is a computationally hard problem, which is why they catch a lot of these guys. They're busy trying to divide the loot when they should be running away. Any questions about that? And these kind of partition problems, integer partition problems, are my second kind of choice. I'm interested in things like vertex cover. Vertex cover is a very good problem to work with. And by vertex cover, we saw vertex cover is essentially the same as clique, essentially the same as independent set. Whenever I have a sequencing problem, a subset problem on graphs typically or sets, this is what I will use, okay? Then for certain problems, I have orderings. okay, like TSP. And I know that Hamiltonian path and, you know, Hamiltonian cycle and flavors like that are hard. So if I'm doing a sequencing problem, I will typically deal with that. Yes?
Can we use any of them that we used in class?
You, for the exams, can use anything that we have used in class that and know that that's hard, right? I think that's fair. That's certainly fair. Yes?
Can you use
any proven hard problem? The answer is, what I would say is, you can use any proven hard problem that isn't cheating, you know, isn't obvious cheating, okay? So if I tell you, you know, do Bandersnatch, prove that Bandersnatch is hard, and you'll say, oh, well, my cousin told me that weighted Bandersnatch was hard, okay? Or, you know, and you can't, you know, so the problems you should use are the ones that basically we've talked about in here. Okay?
So, like, if we could justify it, it's possible?
You could say, is it possible? I would say it is undesirable. And the way that I would be thinking about it, when I think about proving a problem hard, these are the four that I typically start from. Okay? And that tells me that the right way for you guys to think about it is typically, you don't know too many other hard problems than this, right? You shouldn't be fishing for a lot of other hard problems to start from. Usually it's better to start from one of the basic ones. Any questions? Yes? You're welcome. If I ask you to prove something and you want to use Hamiltonian path, be my guest. Okay? That's fine. Okay? You may use any of these problems on the exam if you wish. Any questions? Yes? Well, chromatic number turns out to be a harder problem, but clique and independent set, to my mind, are the same thing as vertex cover. Did we see that those three reductions were so simple that they're really the same problem, right? So in my mind, they're the same problem, okay? If I use clique, it's the same as I'm using vertex cover, basically. Any questions? Yes? There's no problem you can't use. I can't imagine there's a problem that you can't use, okay? If you find a problem that is so close to what I am telling you, that is obvious, you're making up some, saying, oh yeah, my cousin told me this problem was hard, okay? Talk to me, but you shouldn't be doing that. That's not the way I look at it. A way to think about it is there is this book, this wonderful book, which I'll talk about in a minute, that has 400 different NP-complete problems in there. Right? And a terrible thing to do if you're trying to prove a new problem is hard is to look through all of these and say, which is closest? Is it bounded component spanning forest? Or is it multiple choice branching? Or is it Steiner tree and graphs? Or that's the wrong way to think about it. Usually the reason for the hardness is one of these four kind of reasons, and that's where I start from. Any questions? Okay, good. The other thing is to recognize that you're doing your translation, you're trying to force this solver to come up with the answer for this. If you think about what are you trying to do in your translation, you're trying to force the hitting set solver to come up with an answer for this. In your translation, you've got to do the translation so that this thing wants to find this. Okay? And that's typically done by weighting things, okay, in such a way that if it picks the wrong thing, it's punished somehow. This is just a way of thinking about it. And again, that, you know, what did I do? When we did the vertex cover, three-sat the vertex cover thing, why did I make this gadget of three, a triangle, to represent a clause? I found a way to punish you for taking more than two vertices in a triangle. Does everybody see that? I said, you had to take two out of the three, and you couldn't take more than two out of three. Why? Because I limited the total count to being such that you had a budget of twice the number of triangles plus the number of vertices. You didn't have a budget to pick up anything more than two of them, right? And that's kind of, I guess, the way to think about it. Maybe this is a little ill-formed, but that's kind of the way to think about it. And again, my goal is going to be to try to think at a kind of a high level. How do I make these problems the same? Okay? And then at a strategic tactical level, I'm going to maybe build little things to actually implement the sameness. Any questions about that? Okay, that's still probably nebulous. And the final thing, if you have a real problem in life, you were given the Bandersnatch problem, ace problem by the boss to find the fast algorithm for. Typically, what you should be trying to do is first try to find a fast algorithm. If you can't find the fast algorithm, you should say, hey, I wonder if this is hard. And then try to come up with an NP completeness argument. And if you don't find an NP completeness argument after a while, you say, well, maybe there's a fast algorithm. Why can't I do this? Okay? And you move back and forth. Maybe there's a dynamic programming thing that I didn't think about. Okay? And typically you move back and forth, okay, until you get the answer one way or another. Any questions? Yes?
Did we see cleanup?
Did we see what?
Cleanup.
What is cleanup?
I'm sorry, that was on the last slide. You said something about cleaning up. I don't know, it was on the last slide, whatever it meant. How can I clean up?
Where did I say cleanup?
How
do I clean up things I didn't select? What does that mean? That often what you would like... In this last class, what I didn't get to go over, if you'll notice there is a missing lecture you never heard, where I basically proved that integer partition is hard. Okay? And if you look at that, there's going to be certain numbers that I created with the possibility that I had the freedom to pick them if I needed them. Okay, they were the quote-unquote edge numbers. That was a cleanup thing. But since I didn't go over that, that may not resonate here. If not, go back, look at that slide, and maybe it'll make sense. Any questions? Okay, good. Okay, so what I would like to do now is show you how I prove it. This is something I kind of like to do. I had this book of NP this book listed like 300-400 NP complete problems. And what I'm going to do is the following. Let me see if I can get, unfortunately, God knows, how do I make this smaller?
Maximize it?
What does that mean? God knows. Okay. This is a bit, okay, let me instead make it smaller, minimize it. No, relax, sorry about this, this is clumsy. Sad. Okay, boom. Can I make this thing smaller? Can't I pick this or no? Sorry. Okay, good. Let's now move it over. Yuck. Sorry about this. This is what happens when it's partially... Okay, here it's getting smaller. Good. Now, I took a list of problems from that book a couple of years ago that were easy for me to explain. Some of them were not so easy to explain. And some of his problems fell into the graph theory problems. Some were network design problems. Some were set and partition problems. Some were storage and retrieval problems. Some were mathematical programming problems. Which type of problem do we want to do in here? Do we want to do a, let's go take a poll. Should we do a, okay, what are our choices? I guess our choices are graph theory, network design. What else was there? Sorry about this. Sets and part sets. Storage, and mathematical programming. Okay, let's take a poll. Who wants me to do a graph theory problem? Who wants me to do a network design problem? Smaller number, it looked like. Who wants me to do a set problem? Looks a little smaller to me. Who wants me to do a storage problem? People say, what the hell is a storage problem, right? That looks to me maybe like a winner. And who wants me to do mathematical program? Ooh, rough customer. That's an upset. I hear mathematical programming. Is that right? Okay, good. Let's look at that. I need a volunteer. Who's a volunteer? Someone. It's not going to be that bad. Someone volunteer. You. Pick somebody else as a volunteer. Okay. Someone.
Anybody who wants to
this is impressive here. Okay, good. Okay. The one next to you. What? Pick a number, but 1, 3, or 1, 9, or 10.
10.
Okay. What is MP10? Let's see if I can find where mathematical programming 10 is. Oh, actually, okay. This one is integer knapsack. Okay. Interesting here. Okay. This is one that is saying the integer knapsack problem is obviously going to be very close to that partition problem I was talking about, right? It says here, let me, I can read, okay, it's instance of finite set U, such that for every element, there is a size and a value, and positive integers B and P, and K. And there's a saying, is there a way to get a subset of elements such that, a total value of greater than B and a total size of what I have used of size K. Okay? Any questions about that? So let's go back to this problem. Okay, so what is our knapsack problem again? Our knapsack problem here says, in this version of the knapsack problem, you are given a set of items, each item of which has a size and a value. Does everybody see that? A size and a value. Okay, so maybe my computer has a size of 6 pounds and has a value of $300. It's not pretty old, okay? Your car has a size of 700, let's say 2,000 pounds, and a value of
$300,
okay? You're not a good one, right? But your ring has a size of 1 and a value of $1,000. Let's say something like that. Does everybody kind of see this? I give you a large number of items. Okay? And I'm going to give you a bound, B, which is going to be telling me what is my max total weight. And I'm given a value, let's call it K, which is my min total value. And the knapsack problem is asking me, is there a subset of items such that, okay, there's a subset of items where the total weight of the subsets is less than B and the total value is greater than K. That is the problem that they're asking about here. Any questions about the knapsack problem? Do we agree that this is the knapsack problem? Okay. Now, I want to prove this problem is hard. Okay. What should be my Bandersnatch and what should be my Bobili? Okay. Let's think. That's really what we're trying to do here, right? What problems from, let's go back, if I can, up, boop, 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 to my favorite problems, smells the most like this. Yeah?
Well, what if we were to make one of these astronomically?
Well, first of all, now you're talking tactically. Before we get to do anything else, I want to go and say, I want to do a Bandersnatch Bobili thing. That's what I do, right? So let's think what I can do, okay? I have a Bandersnatch here and a Bobili here. Which is my Bobili going to be?
New knapsack.
This is knapsack. Does everybody see this? I'm going to call this knapsack. And the arguments here were I had a set of items. Let's call this thing S. I had my integer bound B and my value bound, my weight bound B and my capacity bound K, right?
Yeah.
Does everybody see that? Now, I need a Bandersnatch. Which Bandersnatch should I use? Okay? And again, I'm only going to do it, since I'm doing this, I only know four different kinds of problems, right? I know about 3-set. Does this problem look like 3-set? You're saying, no, no, I'm scared of 3-set. But 3-set has about subsets, isn't it? So here I have to pick a subset of items, there I have to pick a subset of things to be true. It's not impossible, but let's see if I can do better. Integer partition. This is one where, to remember what my problem was, I had a set of, let me go to the other board just to make sure I have room for it. In integer partition, I had one set of items, and I wanted to come up with a way to split it. So I had, in integer partition, I had a set of items, 17, 3, 6, 12, 2, 1. Let's make it a, let's say that's enough. Is there a way to put these items, make some of them positive and some of them negative, so that the total weight was the same? Let's think about it. Certainly, if we had a problem, let's say we had a guy where there was something where there was one, something of value 1, 2, and 3. Is there a way the two guys could divide the loot equally among themselves? They could. Does everybody see that? In this case, is there a way for the two of them to divide the loot up equally? You say yes. If yes, show me how to do it. Anyone who says yes, show me a way to do it. Okay. Does anybody have a yes? I don't yet have a yeah. You have a yes? What is it? 17 and 6. The other guys get 3, 12, and 2. Is that right? And 1. Okay. This guy gets side gets 23. This guy gets 15. Wait. Who else? What am I missing here? This is... This side gets 15, 17, 18. Does everybody see that that's not good enough yet, right? Is there a way to make it balanced? Okay, this is the hard. It doesn't look like there's a way. Is there a way I should change the problem so the answer is yes? Okay, what if I turn that 3 into an 8? See, you get it, you didn't read it right. Now what do I get? Suddenly, this side is equal, right? Does everybody see that? Okay. So this is my problem of integer partition. What if I use integer partition as Bandersnatch? This sounds like a problem that's... Does this problem sound like the knapsack problem? In what way does it sound like the knapsack problem? I'm splitting them into a set of sets, two subsets, meaning me and you. This one is splitting them into two subsets saying steal and leave behind, right? Okay, so maybe there's an analogy there. Okay, does it smell like a vertex cover problem? You know, that's also subsets and things like that. I could do worse, okay? But I am quite tempted by this integer partition problem, right? Does everybody agree? Or I could do Hamiltonian path. That's about ordering things. The order here doesn't smell to me like a Hamiltonian path problem. So let's do integer partition. And the input was only a set of numbers. Let's call them T, right? Does everybody see what I need to do now? I need to now come up with a way to construct S, B, and K from T, such that knapsack on this gives me integer partition of that. Okay? Any ideas how to do it? Let's start playing around with some ideas here. Okay? I still got about 10 minutes or so. Yeah?
Maybe we could do some sort of binary search kind of thing.
Some sort of binary search kind of thing. Well, you say, again, you're trying to solve something. You're saying, do an algorithm on this. We don't want to do an algorithm on it. We want to do a translation on it. Okay? Does everybody see that's what we kind of want to do? Yeah. What about you?
We have K be half the sum of all groups, and then test for that to see if there's an even match.
So what you want to say here is, you want K B to be what?
Half of the sum of all.
Ah, okay. What you want to say here is, this is an interesting idea here. What if we say that B is equal to the sum as I goes, I should probably write it over here. This is a good enough idea. Maybe I'm going to do it. What if B is equal to the sum as I equals from 1 to N of TI, and you want to say divided by 2. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you want K to be what? This was the B was the maximum total weight we were allowed. What was the minimum total value you want to have allowed? Yeah? You want to have this be B. And what do you want the individual items to be? Yeah? Does everybody see that what he wants to do is do T1, T1 as the first pair, T2, T2 as the second pair, right? Dot, 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 T1, TN as the last pair, okay? That's what he wants to do, right? So the powerful knapsacks problem has the goal of where we can optimize for both weight and value. But what you're sort of getting at is maybe this is too strong for doing we don't need all that power to do this little integer partition. Is that what you're really saying? You're really saying here, suppose we have the property that everything weighs the same as amount of its value, okay? These are gold items. We weigh the value is a price per pound type of thing, right? But you're not allowed to break them, okay? No one would break a gold thing, right? So what is this saying now? Here, if I'm understanding what you're saying, find me a subset of weight, okay, at most, N, okay, at most half the total weight, okay, whose value is at least half the total value. Does everybody see that the only way you can do it in this case, since weight equals value, if you find a subset of half the total weight, okay, then you've got a subset of half the total value. Does everybody see how we're kind of combining those two ideas? Okay. Let's think again whether this is true. Does there exist a subset of items which has at least half the total weight, but at least half the total value and at most half the total weight? If weight is equal to value, that says that the only thing that we're interested in is something that is of half total weight. Does everybody see that? Sure, what if I want a subset that gives me all the value? Take everything. But you're constrained by not taking something more than a certain amount of weight, right? How do I take something with minimum weight? Take nothing, but it has no value. Because we have done our translation where weight equals value, does everybody see that if we find a subset, that if we demand a subset of what is essentially exactly half the weight of the total, that is solving exactly this. We're going to take the elements we get back from this, set them negative, make the rest of them positive, and it will be even. Does everybody see that? Does everybody see that this transformation does exactly what we want it to do? Okay? How many people see it? Okay? Any questions? Yes? Okay, when we talk about should we have started with restriction, the question is, what is this style of proof is this? Did I take this and restrict it to an NP-complete problem? Actually, in some sense, Knapsack seems more, this is what I'm doing, a little local construction, I would say. Right? It's not that it's a special case that is true. Notice this thing is working on pairs of integers. Where this thing is, the Knapsack is working here on pairs of integers, where this is working on integers, right? So I had to do some kind of a local construction on it. Okay, so it wasn't really like, so I did, I would say, a little local construction here. This isn't really that this is an obvious special, this isn't an obvious special case of this. But by a little massaging, they're the same thing. Any questions about this? Okay? About how the strategy works, why this is reduction is right. Any questions like this? Again, if you read the war stories, I come out as the hero because I find this problem, the proof so easily. This time we got very lucky, right? There's no need to be a hero. The heroes are in here because it's a very simple problem. Any questions about that? Okay, yes. So the question is, if I knew what the unweighted, okay, you want to say now, could I have restricted this? Now, let's look at what the powers that this proof tells us. Remember, in the original Knapsack problem, we had the choice of different weights and different variables. One thing we learned from this is that, that Knapsack is hard even if the weight of every item equals its value, right? Isn't that really one thing we have learned from this? You could imagine wanting to solve a problem where, again, you have certain things have different weights and different values. Even if the items have the same weight and same value, that problem is still hard. That's one thing that this has proven, right? That a special case of the Knapsack problem is still hard, right? Any questions about that? Okay. Any other questions about this whole strategy or anything we did here? Okay. Hopefully that was instructive. What else can I tell you here? You know, again, that the amazing thing about the whole theory of NP completeness, in my mind, is, you know, in the hands of one reasonably skilled in the art, it's usually pretty straightforward when you give me a problem. Will I find a polynomial time algorithm or a hardness proof? Okay, I can settle it grossly, the complexity. Finding the fastest algorithm is often harder. That involves data structures and complicated things, right? And in fact, it's amazing in the algorithm world, there are very, very few problems for which we don't know whether the problem is either NP-complete or polynomial, okay? Probably the only two problems that are really famous problems that people still don't know the answer for is graph isomorphism. Given two graphs, is there a way to relabel the vertices so that they're the same thing? Okay, did you learn about graph isomorphism in like 301? So if the prof ever comes up to you and says, you know, show me that this graph is isomorphic to that, you're fair to argue with them, saying, I don't know, no one knows if it's in polynomial or NP-complete, okay? Another one is factoring integers. Given an integer, can you find its factors? That's a problem no one knows whether it's hard or not, okay? It had better be hard, because if it's not hard, it will be, RSA suddenly crumbles, and the whole world, all of civilization ends, okay? But they don't really have a proof that it's hard, okay? Everyone's kind of holding, crossing their fingers a little bit. Any questions about it? Okay? Fair enough. Any questions about this whole notion of P, NP, and anything like that? We've got 10 minutes. I'm not going to let you out. So we can either talk about that or not. Yes?
Why not just have a loop that checks the factors? It seems quick.
So the question you're saying, hey, wait a second. I wrote a program for factoring things, right? What did it do? I had this algorithm. That's a good example here of maybe some of the subtleties that come up. You're saying, wait a second, I now have an algorithm for factoring. What does my algorithm do? It goes 4, I equals 1 to n, right, is I divided by n congruent to 0, right? Does I divide n perfectly, right? If so, say no. If yes, then say no. Otherwise, at the end, say yes. Is that the algorithm for testing whether for factoring something? Okay, or maybe not that. But if I know that if I divides n, it leaves a remainder of 0, then I know that I is a factor, right? Okay. What is the running time of this algorithm? Okay, does everybody know what we're trying to do? We're trying to factor an integer n. Does everybody see that? And maybe now I'd say n is equal to, you know, something like n over I or something like that. Actually, I guess this is really what we would like to say, is n over I, the remainder of that equal to congruent to 0. Okay? So what is the complexity of this algorithm for factoring? Okay? It should be clear that it is order n. Does everybody see that? If division can happen in constant time, like I said, this looks like an order n algorithm. And you're trying to say, hey, wait a second, order n is polynomial, right? What is the input size, though, of our integer n? How do we write the integer n to feed it to this algorithm? We write it in binary, and how many bits long is that integer going to be?
Log n.
Does everybody see that the input here is going to be log n bits, right? So if we have an algorithm that is taking order n time, how much time is this taking? This is taking 2 to the order log n bits, to the order log n. Do you agree? This algorithm is really exponential in the size of the input, okay? And that's kind of really what the condition is, okay? It's not is the number big, but is it exponential in the size of the input? And for certain problems that depend upon big binary numbers, this is kind of what the distinction is, okay? Does everybody see why factoring is not easy? The input was of size log n. The running time was order n. It was exponential in the size of the input. Any questions about it? Any other questions about NP completeness or big O or any of this kind of stuff? What this stuff means? Okay? Any questions? Okay, how many people have ever heard of the P equals NP problem? Right? So what does that mean? Okay, what is the P equals NP problem? So this big question of, is P equal to NP, right? What does that mean? P is the set of all problems which you can solve in polynomial time. Okay? So shortest path is sitting in P, edit distance is sitting in P. Anything we can do in polynomial time is sitting in this class of problems. NP, we said, stood for non-deterministic polynomial. It said it's the set of all problems we can check the answer for in polynomial time. What is the difference? Remember, we talked about there's a distinction between problems that if it was on the exam, you could solve them, and problems that if you looked at the other guy's paper and he had the right answer, you could be convinced that he had the right answer. Does everybody see that? Is it easier to is it obvious that if you could solve the problem from scratch quickly, you could check the guy's answer pretty quickly, right? I'll just solve it myself and do it, right? So anything that we can solve in polynomial time from scratch, we can check somebody else's answer in polynomial time. That much should be obvious, right? The real question is, are there problems like satisfiability which have the probability that we can check them in polynomial time? Okay? Is it true that we could solve them in polynomial time? I tell you that I don't think you can, and I gave you a lot of reasons why you couldn't, right? But there's not an absolute rock-solid proof that there is no fast algorithm for satisfiability. There are amazing things that would happen if satisfiability could happen. Was there any rock-solid proof that you know, a billionaire who knew nothing about politics could become president? The answer was no, and the people were surprised, right? Okay? But the question now is, okay, and this is really the question, is it true, really prove, can you prove to me that either there is, that either all the problems that you can verify the answer in polynomial time, you could actually solve in polynomial time. That would mean P equals NP. Okay? Or is it clear that P is not equal to NP? Meaning that there is in fact a problem like satisfiability that you can check fast but you can't solve fast. That is the P equals NP question. Is satisfiability really, really hard? Okay? I believe in my heart it is hard, okay? Most sentient computer scientists believe that it's hard. I conduct my life like it is hard, okay? And you should too, okay? But the real question is P equal to NP? Okay? Any questions? Yes? Okay, so we had a proof. The one proof that we couldn't find a fast algorithm we did in here was on comparison sorting. We said there was no way you could do a comparison sort better than n log n, right? And the question is, can you do a proof like that for satisfiability and say, there's no way you can do it faster than 2 to the n? Okay, if you could did that, you would have proven that p is not equal to np. The trouble is, no one knows how to do such a proof. Okay? And there's good reasons to believe that we don't know how to... It's not just that they overlooked it, but that the methods we have now are not powerful enough to do such things. Any questions? Yeah?
Do we have any lower bounds on sorting? Not comparison-based, just sorting.
So the question of what of proving that something can exist is a complicated business. So there's subtle questions of what you can and can't do. You have to define your model carefully. So I don't want to wade into that question. Okay? But it should be clear, again, in the context of this, P equals NP is the question of whether these problems that I say are NP complete really are harder. If P was equal to NP, if you came up with a fast algorithm for satisfiability, then everything that you could do, everything that were in NP would have a fast algorithm. That you can prove. Okay? And the real question is it really true or not? Any questions? Okay? Any questions? Actually, I'll leave you with one thought. I think we finished with the semester almost. Let me leave you with one thought. If I ask you, is P equal to NP? The answer you should say, the answer is yes, if N equals 1 or P equals 0. Is that clear? Any questions about that? Okay, if not, at that point I'll say you can go, and I will see you at the final. Okay, good luck. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.